men saw the man fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel has he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel." And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, "What shall be done to this man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And the people answered him after this manner, saying, "So shall it be done to the man that killeth him." And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, "Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and thy naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle." Now, how many think there was a battle going on? Seemed to be a battle that was verbal. And it was one way. Goliath would speak and the rest would run. And David said, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" And he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner. The people answered him again after the former manner. Now the Bible is like no other book. It's the Word of God. And the Bible provides more for us than the direct statements of God Himself. It also records the absolute perfect record of what others had said. Among the recorded statements made by men and women in all of human history, one of the greatest is found in this story of David and Goliath. It is a question that was raised by David that places the highest motive on the right type of human behavior. And that statement should stir our hearts today. Look at that scene in the 17th chapter of the book of 1 Samuel. No greater distance than about 300 yards separated the armies of Israel from the armies of the Philistines. They were at the most narrow point in the valley of Elah. Gathered along the western slope was the Philistine army. And then on the eastern slope was the army of Israel. Well, David comes upon the scene in the campsite. He's questioned, he was questioned and accused by his brother of having the wrong motive. Now, let's say this. How can we judge another's motives? Isn't that what Jesus condemned when he said, "Judge not, lest you be judged"? Now, he's not saying we can't judge others' actions. We cannot judge other words. We cannot judge others' beliefs. But we are not supposed to judge others' motives. We don't know what they are. And so here David's elder brother is doing something wrong and he's questioning David's motive. Well, David responds in verse 29 of this section, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" Is there not a cause? David's wondering, is there not a reason for me to be here? Doesn't something need to be done? How long are we going to let this uncircumcised Philistine besmirch our God and cause our armies to fear? The army of the Israelites, they had a leader. What was his name? His name was Saul. Saul really stood head and shoulders above all the rest of the men in Israel. Why isn't he doing something? There was no doubt that something needed to be done. The life of the nation was at stake. The Philistines were threatening them with a form of servitude. Somebody needed to go out and face this giant. You got a whole army and nobody's willing to go out and fight. You know, years ago, there was a famous evangelist named D.L. Moody. How many ever heard his name? And he had a song leader. Was it P.P. Bliss? No, who was it? Well, anyways, he had a famous song leader. And what show? Yeah, Iris Sankey was his song leader. And anyways, he ordered Iris Sankey, he says, never sing songs about Christians being soldiers or like we're in a military. And Ira Sankey said, well, why is that? He says, because most aren't willing to fight. Did you hear what I said? Most aren't willing to fight. That's sad, isn't it? That happened back then, and it's still happening today. When David inquired about what was going on, his brother rebukes him. And he accuses David. And David says, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? From the dawning of creation to the closing of the revelation of Jesus Christ, when we get in on that final victory that God has given us through His Son, winding its way through all 1,189 chapters of the Bible, let me tell you something. There is a cause. It's the cause of Jesus Christ. Now David finds himself that day in the valley of Elah. And he's saying, you know what? If nobody else is going to do their part, I'm going to step up. I'll do my part. So he took his turn in that cause. We have a time. We can take our turn. We have a place in human history in the cause of Jesus Christ. Will we stand? Or will we tuck tail and run? You know, we do not live in some olden day that exists in pages of history. We are alive now. We have the opportunity to serve our God this day and this hour. We need to find our place in the cause of Christ. We need to step up to the plate and do our part. Now, if you read this story carefully and read what the king says in the 17th chapter, I think you find it quite amusing at first, and then you'll find it quite sorrowful as you ponder upon it. In the 37th verse, where David has his interview with Saul, the Bible says this. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, He will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. Boy, isn't that nice? In other words, he's saying, David, I want you to go. And you know what? I want you to remember that the Lord be with thee. Now that sounds pretty spiritual, doesn't it? I think so. Saul was talking about all the right things at this point, wasn't he? But how many believe the Lord was real to Saul? Not at all. So he's somewhat just mouthing a few words, is he not? He knew the words to say. He knew the speech he needed to make to David. But God wasn't with Saul. He wasn't real to Saul. You know, we hear a lot of that today, don't we? I think the majority in churches like ours know the right words to say. They know what others want to hear. And you know, we sit around and say things like, well, let's pray about it. But we're mouthing words. Do we really take those requests before the Lord? Are we sincere about them? Are we serious when we pray for somebody else? Or do we take that request lightly? Or do we not pray about it at all? We say those words, but is prayer real to us? How about this one? Let's trust God. Let's trust God. And then we go about doing our own thing. The only time you trust God is when you throw out that dollar bill to pay your bills or something. It says, in God we trust. That's the only thing you seem to trust. Let's trust God. Well, are you living by faith? Are you moving forward by faith? Because if you're stagnant, you're not doing what God would tell you to do. You're not trusting the Lord. We sure know how to use those phrases, don't we? But the truth of those phrases seem to be far from us. We need to be delivered from such hypocrisy. The king of Israel says, go, and God be with you. God was far removed from Saul. When David came on the scene, from his heart he said, is there not a cause? The Lord Jesus Christ has given us a cause. You say, what is it, preacher? Was it to gather in his house? Nothing wrong with that. But is that the mission of the church? Not at all. What is his cause? Well, why don't we read in Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20. Notice what his cause is. This is what he tells the church to do. Go ye therefore. What did he say? Go ye therefore. Now who's he talking to? He's talking to believers that make up the church. Now how many here are believers? How many here are part of this church? Here's your mission. And teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. You know what the church is for? It's to instruct you and prepare you for the work of the ministry. It's not to tickle your ears. It's not so you grow in your biblical knowledge. It's so that you would be part of his cause. So ask yourself, is there not a cause? Yes, there is. Is there not fields that are white unto harvest? Are you involved in the cause or not? Of a Bible preaching soul winning church that supports missions, is there not a cause for you? Should we not be involved in it? David wanted to accomplish what God would have him do. Now his cause will keep us on the right course. You know, here's a funny thing. You know, certain churches, they don't have a cause other than just to, you know, preach the Bible and teach the people, but they don't do anything with the truth that they're taught. They don't have the mission statement that is the cause of Christ. You know, we got churches all over the Springs here, and you know what? Some of them are independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, so-called Baptist churches. But you know what? They don't go forth with the gospel. Is there not a cause? You know, I've seen some of these preachers and they told me it just don't work. Well, that's funny. It works when I go out. It works when yesterday when Mike witnessed to Edgar, a guy from Ecuador, been in this country for about 30 years. He opened up his heart and received Christ when he heard the gospel for the very first time. I'm telling you, it works. The problem is we just don't see the cause. Amen. You go, oh man, those other churches, they're lousy. Okay, what are you doing? It don't work either for you, does it? Boy, it got quiet. Everybody was excited a moment ago. Is there not a cause? That cause isn't just for the church. It's for us personally. You know, so often I think we look at things collectively. But God wants to speak to us personally. We all get easily sidetracked. You know, churches get sidetracked. They get so involved in other things that they forget the main thing. What's the main thing? Now, I didn't say that. Dennis did.
And he said it right, amen.
He got it right for once. But that's the main thing, is it not? So many churches get sidetracked with all their programs. With all this other stuff that's going on, it makes no sense. You know, I remember reading about one church, or somebody told me about one church. They got over 200 ministries. I said, 200? I can't even come up with that many. And I started, you know, looking at their ministries. They had a skydiving ministry. A skydiving ministry. Now, how many think that's a ministry? How many think that's something a church should be involved in? They had a surfing ministry, too. Now, what kind of nonsense is that? But did they have a soul winning ministry? Oh, no! So ask yourself, has that church lost its focus? So what kind of ministry are you in? Is it a housekeeping ministry? Is it a sleeping in ministry? What is it that you're involved in that takes you away from going out and sharing your faith? You see, once again, collectively, it's okay for us to think about those things and, boy, how wrong that is. But what's keeping you from the cause?
Right.
Somebody needs to step up to the plate. And that person happens to be and me.
That's right.
Years ago, I preached a sermon, not here, at the first church I pastored. It was real popular, too. It was called Round to It. And when people came in, I gave them this little cutout of this round circle, and it said "to it" in it. And I gave each person one when they came in. And you know what? I talked about getting round to it. And one of my points is, some of you are waiting to get around to it to go forth with the gospel.
Yeah.
I said, but now you got around to it. And you have no excuse.
Right. Amen.
It may be good, but it didn't help. Same thing as this message won't help some of you either. You see what I mean? You know, this matter of Christ's cause isn't just for the preacher. It's not. It's for all of us.
Right.
You know, I was involved in this long time before I was ever called to preach.
Amen.
Really? Yeah. You know what I think God called me to preach is because I was talking about Jesus all the time anyway. He said, you know what? I'll call that knucklehead to preach. He can't stop talking about me anyways. He's witnessing. And you know what? He's not called to be a preacher yet. Some of you women out there, you could be Joyce Myers. You just don't know it. All I'm saying is, what's preventing you from doing the cause of Christ?
Right.
Well, preacher, you don't understand. That's the day I clean my house. Oh, you got all week long to do it, but that's the time you're setting aside. That makes a lot of sense to me. Because you know what? Dusting that coffee table is more important than the soul. Preacher, I didn't come here from Sunday school to hear all this stuff. Well, good that you're here. You get it while you're there. You know, most of us don't get sidetracked with bad things. We get sidetracked with good things, and we forsake the best thing. God has given us a cause. We need to be involved in it. In His cause, it'll keep us on course. You know, there's been people that have suggested that I get involved or that we have certain ministries here. And one of the things I ask is like, well, how's that going to reach souls?
Right.
Oh, well, okay, we don't need to be part of it. Why waste our time? Why spin our wheels? Well, preacher, we could have a men's softball league. I don't know. I'm not interested in it. What good is that going to do? Not a thing. But you know what? People would get involved in that. They'd make time for that. Isn't it crazy, isn't it? You know, His cause will help us keep right priorities. Now, who do you think had the right priority here in that entire army? And David wasn't even part of it.
Right.
He just came on the scene to help out, you know, give some food to the rest of the folks and his brothers and see how they're doing. But you know what? When he arrived, he realized there's a cause and he wanted to take part in it. Matter of fact, he was going to lead the cause. You know, that cause helped him to prioritize his life. Do you see that? You know, come Saturday morning when we're supposed to be out soul winning, guess where the preacher's at? Now, how many think that that does not interfere any at all with anything that his family may be involved in? Raise your hand. Could he be doing something else? Why doesn't he? Because there's a cause. How about you? Well, you know what? My family's coming over. Well, they can come later. Do you ever think of that? Matter of fact, if you set aside that time in Saturday morning, you know what? Your family ought to know. Don't be trifling with that time. Because it ain't going to go well for you. Because you're going to get a no. I'm busy. I'm going out there and I'm telling others about Jesus. We need to get the right priority. Now think about this. The army needed to be fed, didn't it? Right? Okay. They needed to train, don't you think? They needed the proper equipment, did they not? Perhaps some of them might have even needed some medical attention. There are all kinds of things going on in this camp of Israel, were there not? But what was the main thing? Main thing was to get into the cause,
right,
to fight the good fight.
Right.
And they weren't doing it. Many things are important. Some may be very important. But there's only one thing that should really consume us, and that's the cause of Jesus Christ. You know, He's supposed to have preeminence, is He not? Are we supposed to live life like we want to please ourselves or to please him? Who's supposed to have preeminence? Us or him? The Lord Jesus is never to be one of. He is to be the one and only. David did not fight this giant because the giant needed to be defeated. He fought the giant because God must be obeyed. Now here's the thing. His cause demands sacrifice. It demands sacrifice. In verse 31 and 32, the Bible says this. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with the Philistines. Now, obeying God costs something. It doesn't come cheap. There's going to have to be some sacrifice that needs to be made. Now, don't be one of those Christians who only the only thing they know about sacrifice is how to spell the word. And if you're a good, solid Baptist, you probably don't even know how to do that. Because you went to public school. But it's not cheap. It's not easy. That means you might have to spend some time away from your wife. Oh, preacher. Don't you know we're one flesh? Not all time. You ought to be glad to get away from her once in a while. And please the Lord doing what you're supposed to do. Amen. Amen. After all, you're not there to please your wife. You're there to please him. Amen. It costs something. It's not cheap. David says, you know what? I'm going to go out there and I'll take care of business. How many realize the work of God cannot be done with sparse resources? David was willing to give his all. He was willing to lay down his life. Wasn't he? We're not even willing to give God a little bit of our time. Unbelievable, isn't it? Listen, are we not supposed to crucify ourselves? Are we not supposed to live for the one who died for us? Is that not found in the Scriptures? Then pray tell me what we are doing that we can't partake in His cause. Do you have less time in the week than I do? We all got 7 days. We all got 24 hours in a day. So why are we not doing something during that time for His cause? You ever read a story about David after he counted Israel and 70-some thousand Israelites were killed, Jewish men. Remember that? That, by the way, was his great sin, not his sin with Bathsheba. And anyways, remember the angel's over there. He's got a sword in his hand. He's ready to destroy Jerusalem. God says, put up the sword. It's over. And David goes to this threshing floor of Arunah. And he says, you know what? He says, you know, I'd like to buy the threshing floor and everything that you have right here. And what does Arunah say? He says, you can have it. It's yours. He was acting like a king towards another king. And what does David say? I will not sacrifice to the Lord that which costs me nothing. See, that's how most of us are. We're willing to sacrifice nothing for the Lord. God has designed the Christian life so that the people who yield, give, surrender, and sacrifice to God of themselves receive the greatest blessings. The people who hold on to their lives and say, Lord, it's mine. I'm going to live my life as I please. I'm in charge. I'll make the decisions. I will yield a bit of myself to you, but you can't have all of me there is. They don't get blessed that much. It's crazy, isn't it? Is there not a cause? Should there not be sacrifice on our part? Then his cause requires more than the energy of the flesh. The Bible says in verse 45 of this chapter that as David met the Philistine giant, he said to him, Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. David realized it'd take more than the energy of the flesh to do God's work. Did you hear that? Yeah. Some of us try to serve God in the flesh. It don't work too good, does it? It requires a whole lot more than that. Now, we probably have all been weary in well-doing, have we not? But you know what? God has a purpose even in weariness. And that is that He comes along and strengthens us. God has a purpose for difficulty as much as He has a purpose for deliverance. And yet we fight against Him when difficulties come into our life. Does not the Bible say all things? Would that include difficult things? And they're all work for our what? Good to those who... To those who are called and those who love God. Maybe that's our problem. We don't love them as we should. That's why we complain and murmur when difficulties come into our life. We fail to operate by faith. You know, God has a purpose for trials as much as He does in triumph and victory. Yeah. He's trying to develop us, is He not? The giant comes to David with everything a man could have in warfare. I mean, he was nearly 10 feet tall. He had weapons that most men probably couldn't even wield in warfare. They were so big. He had an armor bearer. Still, they were no match for who? David. David was looking to God, not at the giant. And here you got a shepherd boy with a sling. 5 stones. And who got the victory that day? David did. Now, David didn't run tuck tail. He stood for the Lord. You say, well, how could he do that? Because there was a cause. You know, some of us are not willing to get involved in the cause because we're fearful. We tuck tail and run. Oh, they might say something that, you know, offends me. Oh! So? Big deal! People have a right to be stupid. Do they not? Do they not have a right to say stupid things? Sure they do. But is that any reason for us not to get involved in the cause? Are we supposed to be operating by fear or by faith? When we come to the place of yielding our lives to God's disposal, then God will avail Himself to us. His commandments, my friend, are His enablements.
Right.
And pray tell me when we're supposed to be fearful. There's one we ought to fear, and it isn't man.
Right.
We ought to fear God enough to obey Him and what He tells us to do. Then I want you to notice His cause is eternal. You say, preacher, how come you're not nice? Well, my bagel was burned this morning, and it sets me off. No, it doesn't. But sometimes I think we just need a wake-up call, don't you think?
Right.
We need to get our priorities straight. But you know, His cause is eternal. What David did that day was bigger than David. What I'm doing as a Christian is more far-reaching than just the life I live. Just about every day I pray, God, I pray the ministry of Faith Baptist Church will go far and wide, far greater than we could ever imagine. I want my life to count beyond just time. But is it going to just count for more than time if I don't get involved in the cause? No. Because His cause is eternal. You see, if I win somebody to the Lord, that's an eternal thing, isn't it? That's important, don't you think? It's going to last longer than my life. And then you know what? Maybe some of those folks are going to get in a good, solid church. And maybe some of those folks are going to start witnessing to others. And that ministry just keeps going on. I often think about Connie's sister. She led Connie to the Lord. And then you know what? Connie's decided she's going to go to church and live for the Lord. And it bothered me. I put her through hell for nearly 2 weeks to see if it was real. And she stood up. And I thought to myself, I need to have what that woman has. Now, she folded like a cheap suit. You know what I'd have thought? She's just like the rest of them. All talk. All running their mouth, but they do not stand. And so I got saved. Then my parents came over. I witnessed to them, and I had my preacher come over because I didn't know enough Bible where to take them to lead them to Christ myself. They got saved. They got back. They won my family to the Lord. All my brothers and sisters that made professions of Christ. Then my mom and dad, my mom happens to be a Sunday school teacher, and she leads a number of little kids to the Lord. I heard a bunch of stories about my mom, and I'm thinking, man, I wish I had the influence she has. My dad leads the soul winning at his church for a number of years until, what, about a year ago, till his health started failing him. You know how many people that he influenced to win souls? You know, I think I'm going to get a little bit of that. I think Pam's going to get a lot of that. You see, that work is eternal. And who knows what's going to go on throughout eternity through the ministry of this church and the people who have been trained to go sowing and go forth with the gospel and lead others to Christ. It's not just going to stop when they pass. It's going to keep on going. But for some, it's over when your heart beats for the last time because you did not get involved in the cause. All right, we'll have some more. Oh, my.